In Ecclesiastes, we actually began this lesson last Sunday night. I want to finish it off. There is a paper that's being handed out. We talked about last time about the book of Ecclesiastes as far as what life isn't about. Most people focus on that particular book when they look at Ecclesiastes about what life isn't about. And they find, go away from reading Ecclesiastes, that is a very depressing book, because almost everything that you think life is about isn't. And that's why, if you want to name one thing that the writer of Ecclesiastes, Solomon, had labeled everything as this vanity, it's worthless, it's useless type of things, because most of the things that people aim at are worthless things. They're useless things. They're things that just don't last. There are things that are just don't make any impact in a person's life or other people's lives either, for that matter. But it doesn't mean that Ecclesiastes doesn't have an answer to the question about what life is about. It's a part of the series of books that we call the wisdom literature, or sometimes it's referred to in the New Testament as the Psalms. It starts with Job and Ecclesiastes, one of those books. Job tells us basically how to suffer. Psalms tells us how to praise God. The book of Proverbs tells us how to act in this world. And Ecclesiastes is there to tell us, why are we here? What's the purpose to life? Going to Ecclesiastes chapter 2. We're just going to go through some verses and talk about them as the outline I gave you shows on the side of what makes life better. We're not going to talk about, and I want you to notice, it doesn't say this is what life is about. One of the problems, you'll find some of the things on this side that were on the other side of the page as well. Sometimes we look at things and we say this is what life is all about. And if we start thinking, saying like life is all about work, well, no, it isn't. Does that mean that work doesn't make life better? The answer is yes, it does. And so it looks like, look at it a slightly different way. And then through Ecclesiastes, we're going to go through all the verses, or not all of them, but as many as I could find, dealing with what makes life better. In Ecclesiastes chapter 2, starting with verse 24, it says, there is nothing better for a man than to eat and drink and tell himself that his labor is good. This also I have seen, that it is from the hand of God. For who can eat and who can have enjoyment without him? Here then is one thing that we start off with, very first and foremost thing. God expects us to have satisfaction in life, to have fun. We're not here to be miserable. God didn't put us here to have hardships. We are to find the things that we can do and enjoy them. To be able to have enough to eat, enough to drink, to be satisfied with the work that you do. In Ecclesiastes chapter 1, no, sorry, not chapter 1, in chapter 3, verse 1, he says, there is an appointed time for everything. There's a time for every event under heaven. And he goes through and lists a series of things. As one songwriter has made the more famous because he put it to nice music. But down in verse 10, he says, I have seen the task which God has given the sons of men with which to occupy themselves. He has made everything appropriate in its time. He has also set eternity in their hearts. One of the things that makes life difficult, and one of the things that people find frustrating, is they want to do things out of order. They want to do things in whatever things that happen to spur them at the moment. Instead of thinking that everything has a proper place and a proper time. You don't want a child to grow up too soon, nor do you want an adult acting like a child. There's a proper place and a proper time. for various things. Basically, one of the things that we have to learn if we want to make life better is to be patient and wait for the proper time. Certain things have to be done at certain times. Sometimes we have to do the hard things, sometimes we have to do the easy things. Sometimes we have to do fun things, sometimes we have to do things that are not so fun. But there is a proper time for everything because it's the way God made it. Again in Ecclesiastes 3, down in verse 12, it says, I know there is nothing better for them than to rejoice and to do good in one's lifetime. Moreover, that every man who eats and drinks sees good in all his labor. It is a gift of God. I know that there is nothing to add to it, for there is nothing to take from it. For God has so worked, and that man should fear him. Now notice what he says at the end. There is nothing that you can add to this. You can't lose it, because it's there. God expects us to be able to enjoy life. He expects us to do things in the proper time. He expects us to have fun, to do good, to eat and have something to drink, and also to see the good in what you do. It's not just enough to do things in this world. It ought to have a purpose. And it ought to benefit other people. When you know that your work helped somebody else out, doesn't that make you feel better? Then isn't that what makes life better? And that's what the point is being brought out here. And he concludes that we need to fear God. That's something that doesn't take anything, and you can't lose it. Have respect for God. Because God's the one who made this world, and God's the one who said, this is what life is about. This is what makes life better. Enjoy it. And then God gave you the means of which to enjoy it. How much time do we spend grumbling about our lives, rather than seeing that God gave us things to enjoy? In the same chapter, down in verse 22, I have seen that nothing is better than a man should be happy in his activities, for that is his lot. For who will bring him to see what will occur after him? If you put all your emphasis on the future, you'll never be happy. Because you don't know what's going to happen next. But if I see that God's lot to me is to be enjoying what I do right now, be happy in the present, I'm going to enjoy life. There's so many people, we talked about it last time, there's so many people that put so much emphasis on the future. If I only had $1 million, then I'll be happy. Of course, by the time they get to that point, it's got to be 10 million, but that's another problem. They're always going to say, I'm going to be happy when something else happens. That's not what God made life about. What makes life better is saying, I can be happy now because I'm enjoying what I'm doing. When we talk about work, sometimes it's a very favorite thing to do, is grumble about work and how hard it is and how the boss doesn't understand me and all that. There has to be fun in there someplace. Even in the most miserable job, there ought to be fun someplace in there. And we ought to focus on that. If there's absolutely nothing fun about your job, you're in the wrong career. Because God intended for you to enjoy what you do. Jumping down in chapter 4, verse 6, it says, one hand full of rest is better than 2 foot full of labor and striving after the wind. While God intends you to have fun at work, life isn't all about work. And that's the point. There ought to be breaks. There's a reason why companies give you vacation, because they know that makes you better workers. Don't drive yourself so hard that you never take a break. You need rest. That makes life better. Down in chapter 4, verse 9, it says, two are better than one, because they have a good return for their labor. For if either of them falls, the one will lift up his companion. But woe to the one who falls when there is not another to lift him up. Furthermore, if two lies down together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And if one can overpower him who is alone, two can resist him. A cord of three strands is not quickly torn apart. And he's talking about the fact that one of the things about life that God has given to us is friends. We need other people. You can't go at life alone. There's a lot of people think that's what life is about, just doing everything by yourself and being able to do it independently. But life is about friendships. God designed life that we are dependent on other people. Person alone can be overcome. Somebody has somebody to depend on, has someone to pick them up when they fall down. Having numerous friends is that much more stronger. Life is about having friends, not about being by yourself. You ought to cultivate friends. You ought to look at people around you. Have people that you can depend on, and they can depend on you. Going down to chapter 5 and verse 18. Oh, sorry, I'm on chapter 4, verse 13 first. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 13, it says, a poor yet wise lad is better than the old and foolish king who no longer knows how to receive instruction. It doesn't matter what level that you've obtained, what height of glory you might get in your company or government or wherever you work, if you can't learn, you don't have much in life. Someone who is young, who hasn't had much, but knows that they can learn, has more enjoyment out of life than someone who thinks they have it all. We ought to learn. We ought to get fun out of seeing something and learning about something new. It makes life better. Now jumping down to chapter 5, verse 18. Here's what I've seen to be good and fitting: to eat, to drink, and enjoy oneself in all one's labor in which he toils under the sun during the few years of his life which God has given him. For this is his reward. Furthermore, if every man to whom God has given riches and wealth, he has also empowered him to eat from them and to receive his reward and rejoice in all his labor, this is the gift of God. For he will not often consider the years of his life, because God keeps him occupied with the gladness of his heart. Here again, if you haven't noticed, he's repeated this numerous times. To be able to eat, to drink, and to work are the key factors of life. We ought to be able to enjoy what we produce. So many times people just don't get any pleasure out of the fact that they made something or produced something. We ought to get enjoyment from it. We ought to benefit from our work. Even if it's making some type of widget that I don't act particularly use, at least somebody else can use it. And I ought to benefit from the fact that they were able to use it. In other words, I get paid for my job. That's part of what life is about. To enjoy it and receive that as a blessing from God. Too often we think it's an obligation that we have to work. rather than seeing that this, what Ecclesiastes says, it is a gift from God to be able to work, to be able to be productive. And not only that, when we have a job that we enjoy, that we're producing well from, that we see the goodness being produced from it, we're enjoying the fruits of our own labor, God says life goes by so much faster. Because you're so busy, you're so caught up in doing things, that you don't notice the time going by. Jumping to chapter 7, and in verse 1, it says, a good name is better than a good ointment. Now here's one that sometimes throws people off. You are better off with a good reputation. So many times people don't think about their reputation anymore. What do people think about you? What does your name bring people's mind? We ought to think about our reputation and cultivate it. As one young man was talking to me not too long ago, and he started to ask me, well, you know, he was thinking about maybe going into, in this case it was politics, he was thinking about going into it. He said, oh, but do you think it would matter what those things I did before? I said, yeah, they're going to come out. No. I'd rather leave them buried. Well, then we'll go into politics. Your reputation makes a difference. You got to start when you're young. Things that you've done will follow you, whether you want it to or not. Think about what type of reputation you're leaving behind. It makes life better when you have a good reputation. Starting from the second part of that same verse, it says the day of one's death is better than the day of one's birth. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of feasting, because that's the end of every man. And the living takes heart to it. Sorrow is better than laughter, for when a face is sad, a heart may be made happy. And again, that seems so backwards to our thinking. Having sorrow is better than being happy. Part of it is because it keeps us in perspective. When we get to the end of our life, it ought to be to the point where we look back and say, like Paul said, I fought the good fight. I kept the faith. It ought to be a time of triumph to say, I made it through life. The day of one's death ought to be better than the day of one's birth. Because then you have finished what you set out to do. But sorrow also keeps us, like I said, in perspective. We have to understand that everything doesn't go well. But it isn't that we can't learn lessons from it. If you expect life to be all one fun game, and everything be pleasant, and everything go your way, and nothing's ever going to go wrong, you're going to get disappointed real quick. And you're going to be miserable to life. But if you understand that there are sorrows, there are griefs, that you're not going to be happy, that you're going to cry, then the pleasant times become that much more pleasant. Along with them, verse 5 of that same thing, it says, it's better to listen to the rebuke of a wise man than to listen to the song of fools. So many of us want the praises of other people, but their praises aren't worth anything because they're not praising you about things that are worthwhile. It is a whole lot better to be rebuked by somebody who knows more than you do. Why? Because then you know how to live life better. None of us are perfect. We all make mistakes. We all can stand correction. If we were perfect, then why would we bother being here? We got lessons to learn in life. And that means I'm going to make mistakes and I got to be corrected for it. And so it's better to learn the hard way than not to learn at all. In verse 8 of that chapter, Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 8, says the end of a matter is better than its beginning. Patience of spirit is better than haughtiness of spirit. Finishing things, getting it done. I can't tell you how many projects I've started and never finished. They don't give you any satisfaction. Finish what you started. And have the patience to continue in it until you get done. Because so many times we get frustrated with whatever we started with and we give up on it way too soon. That makes life better. In verse 14 of Ecclesiastes 7, in the day of prosperity, be happy. But in the day of adversity, consider God made one as well as the other, so that a man will not discover anything that will be after him. You need to learn to accept things as they are. Whether it's going good or it's going bad, sometimes I can't change them. The only thing I can change is my own attitude. And what Solomon is saying is accept things as they are. There's a lot of things just plain out of our control. But I can accept the things that whether they're bad or good, well, that's the way things are. I'm just going to have to deal with it. But then I can have some more happiness in my life. More satisfaction with the way things are. In verse 18, it says, it is good that you grasp one thing and also not let go of the other. For the one who fears God comes forth with both of them. And what he's talking about in the verses before that was about righteousness and wickedness. He said, don't be overly righteous. He said, don't be overly wicked. Life is not about being perfect. And life is not about, I don't care what God thinks. He said, what you have to do is hold on to both ideas at once. You do the best you can, knowing that you're going to make mistakes. And understand that. So be righteous, fear God, but accept the fact that you're not going to be a perfect person. I can't tell you how many times I've run across people that they make a major mistake and that's their whole life is ruined. Rather than saying, okay, I made a major mistake, I need to pick myself up and get back on the track again. Some people just won't forgive themselves. And therein lies a problem. Down in verse 29 of chapter 7, it says, behold, I have found only this, that God made man upright, but he sought out many devices. God made you righteous. It is mankind who's corrupted himself. Keep that in mind, because so many people blamed all the world's problems on God. God didn't make this mess, we did. God made us righteous. In chapter 8, and in verse 12, although a sinner does evil 100 times and may lengthen his life, still I know that it will be well for those who fear God, who fear him openly. Here again is the point. Yes, there's wicked people who get away with all sorts of wickedness. And they really ought to be punished, and one day they will be, whether they get punished in this world or not. But what we have to do is have respect, fear for God. Not a private one, an open one. Life is not about hiding the fact that you're a Christian. Life is about letting your light shine. That makes life better. Oh, it might make you a target for some people. But it's going to make your life better. When you know you're doing what's right and people don't like it, that's fine. Because you know who it matters to, and it matters to God. And it ought to matter to you as well. Now in chapter 8, verse 15. So I commend pleasure, for there is nothing good for a man under the sun except to eat and to drink and to be merry. And this will stand by him in his toils for the days of his life, which God has given him under the sun. Life is here to be enjoyed. Yes, there are people that think that's all life is about, and it's wrong. But we are here to enjoy life. In chapter 9, verse 4, it says, for whoever is joined with all the living, for there is hope. Surely a live dog is better than a dead lion. One other thing is the fact that you're alive. And if you're alive, you have hope. Something might change. If you're not here, there isn't any hope. You don't solve problems by dying. You solve problems by living. In chapter 9, verse 7, go then, eat your bread in happiness, and drink your wine with a cheerful heart, for God has already approved your works. Let your clothes be white with time, all the time, and let not your oil be lacking on your head. Enjoy life with the woman whom you love with all the days of your fleeting life, which he has given you under the sun. For this is your reward in life, and in your toil in which you have labored under the sun. Live a life that is approved by God. That's what he's saying. Live your life such that you already know God approves of what you do. If you're not certain what you're doing the wrong things. If you're uncertain whether God accepts you or not, you're doing the wrong things. Take care of yourself. One of those things you have to beat into the teenage boys' heads. Life is better when you take care of yourself. You put on the perfume, you wash yourself, you wash your clothes. It just makes you feel better. Get married, because life is about having a companion, a lifetime companion. It makes life better. That's the way God designed it. And in verse 10, he says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might, for there is no activity or planning or knowledge or wisdom in Sheol where you are going. Don't put things off. Don't procrastinate. Work hard, because this is the life you have. Now in chapter 9, verse 13, it says, this also I've seen as wisdom under the sun, and it impressed me. There was a small city with a few men in it, and a great king came to it and surrounded it and constructed large siege works against it. But there was found a poor wise man, and he delivered the city by his wisdom. Yet no one remembered that poor wise man. So I said, wisdom is better than strength. But the wisdom of the poor wise man is despised, and his words are not heeded. The words of the wise, heard in quietness, are better than the shouting of the ruler among fools. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroys much good. Then jumping down to chapter 10 and verse 10 also, it says, wisdom has the advantage of giving success. Wisdom is also something we need to do. It's to be wise. We need to learn. Learn to be smart. You can be stronger because you can do things better. Life goes easier. You might not get an impressive reputation, but that's all right. People might not realize what you do, but that's all right. You're not here for fame, but you ought to learn wisdom. Chapter 17, or 10, verse 17, blessed are you, O land, whose king is of nobility, whose princes eat at the appropriate time for strength and not for drunkenness. Life is a whole lot better when you got good government. But when you got a government that wastes money on itself, life is going to be miserable. So when you got a good government, appreciate it. In chapter 11, verse 6, sow your seed in the morning and do not idle in the evening, for if you do not know whether the morning or evening sowing will succeed, or whether both of them alike will be good. Have alternative plans. Don't depend on everything on one particular thing. When you're talking about when you have work, there should be something you can fall back on if that work collapses. Whatever you do, have an alternate. Because you never know what succeeds and what won't. In chapter 11, verse 7, the light is pleasant and is good to the eyes to see the sun. Indeed, if a man should live many years, let him rejoice in all of them. Let him remember the days of darkness, for there will be many. And everything that is to come will be futility. Basically, one of the things also about life is get outside and enjoy it. God made this world. He didn't make it so that you can sit inside a dark house and not see anything. There's so many times when people I've talked to and they tell me they're getting depressed, they're getting, you know, they're gloomy, they're under the weather. Well, when's the last time you've been outside? Go take a walk. Go out in the park someplace. You'll be surprised how it changes your mood real quick. God made it that way. Take advantage of it. Verse 9, rejoice, young man, during your childhood. Let your heart be pleasant during the days of young manhood, and follow the impulses of your heart and desires of your eyes, yet know that God will bring you to the judgment for all these things. Life is also about enjoying your youth. Being a child, being a young man or a young woman is supposed to be fun. So while you have your youth, enjoy it. Believe me, old age and creaky bodies come quite soon enough. Have fun while you have something to enjoy. Just understand that God's going to judge you. Do things righteously. Don't waste your childhood. Back in chapter 12, verse 1, it says, remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come, and the years draw nigh when you say, I have no pleasure in them. That's when you should remember God. That makes life better. You don't want to make up for past mistakes. I talked to way too many people that regret things they did when they were young. And it haunts them the rest of their life. Have fun in childhood. Do what is right so that you don't have to regret what you did in the past. Yeah, you'll still make mistakes. But don't go out looking for them. Because at the end, and the summary, in verse 13, it says the conclusion when all has been heard is fear God and keep His commandments, because this applies to every person, for God will bring every act into judgment, whether it is good or evil. God will bring you to judgment. And the purpose that we are here is to serve God. It's not drudgery. It's not hardship. God made life to be enjoyed. Many times the big thing we need to do is change our attitude towards life. Because what life is and what God has made it is still here.